hoping nobody stayed home because it's Super Bowl Sunday. That'd be weird. I mean, I don't even know who's playing in the Super Bowl. I figured out the Seahawks are just because of the Josh is from Washington State, so he knows. He said, it's all good, Pastor, preach. So I was like, okay, good. All right, he's fine. Okay. We still like you now. Okay. All right. Amen. If you would grab your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I figure anyways on a Super Bowl Sunday, even if you like who's playing, even if you want to see the game, nothing matters till after halftime and that awful halftime show is over with. So you'll thank me if you miss all of that. So Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1, we'll start the chapter. I don't really need to read all this, but I like it. So I'm just going to start there. And he says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And we sang about that. Time's coming short, we're going home. John, unto the seven churches, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And if that wasn't enough, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And John's going to continue, and I won't keep reading the chapter, but I got thinking about how amazing God is. I mean, how powerful is he? I got thinking, I had that assistant vice president at the hotel where I was lean over to me and say the wonderful words, your God is very powerful. And I got to correct him. Because my God's not very powerful, he's all powerful. I said, no, he's the Almighty God. And he can be yours. And I'm looking at the crowd tonight. I'd say probably everybody in here, maybe some of the younger ones may not, but probably just about everybody in here is saved, and he's your God. And we forget, we are very finite in our mindset. You and I are very limited. We're limited in our knowledge. We're limited in what we can experience and what we see. We're limited by our strength and by our might and by what we can figure out. And we're limited by our understanding of how things work. We're limited by so many things. We're so limited and we're so finite. Our lives are limited down to maybe 70, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. Some last longer, some for some reason are cut much shorter. But overall, the truth is, no matter who we are, time is limited. Eventually, we run out of time on the face of the earth. We step off into eternity. But God is a God that is completely limitless. And so, I'm going to look at just a few things tonight. I don't know how much I'm going to say and not say, and got a bunch of stuff right here. just thoughts of how limitless of a God we really have. And how it amazes me that the limitless God of the universe is the one who loved us and washed us in His own blood. Amen. And so I'm just going to preach on the limitless God tonight and see what happens. Lord, I thank You for the night. And Lord, how amazing You are. And God, I would love to actually preach a message one day to really captivate and consolidate and, Lord, be able to fully express how amazing You are. But I'm quite sure that there's not enough words in the English language. There's not enough understanding that I could ever pull together to be able to formulate exactly how amazing of a God You are and how limitless You truly are. Father, as the heavens are high above the earth, so are Your thoughts higher than our thoughts, and Your ways are higher than our ways. Lord, You truly are the God that speaks the universe into existence and still wants to go ahead and interact with His creation so much that You have gone ahead to guarantee our salvation for all of eternity, so that You could have us for all of eternity. Father, I can't even understand that, why You'd want me. But Lord, I do pray You'd help me tonight to just give You the praise and the honor that You deserve. Help me, Lord, to just say what You want me to say and do the best that I can, Lord, to give glory unto the God of the universe. Father, bless us this night. Strengthen us and help us. Lord, as we look at Your Word, give us more confidence, more boldness, more faith that You are the wonderful God we know You to be. Father, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And the first thing I just want to think about is that He's limitless in His power. He calls Himself there at the end of verse number 8, the Almighty. He's the Almighty. I mean, you think about the power that God has. Number one, the power of creation is unbelievable. The fact that God can speak and it happens out of nothing. Wouldn't you like that? Isn't that an amazing power to have? You just, you want a glass of water and, oh, there's a glass of water. You just, boom, you can just have it right there. You want whatever, I mean, you want a mango lassi? We get you just, boom, speaking into existence. You say, what is that? A wonderful beverage. I had several to make sure that I got them in. You say, well, if you want it, I don't know what your favorite things are. Maybe they're hard to get. Maybe you have some things you splurge on, right, to get it, and you kind of like reserve it. You portion it out, whatever it is you do. But could you imagine if you could just speak it into existence whenever you wanted it? That's God. He looked at a universe and He said, you know what I want? I want light and darkness. I'm going to divide those two things, and then I want a firmament. And then I'm going to go ahead and and He just starts. And whatever He says comes into existence. And by the way, He didn't say anything wrong. All of it was good. He got it right. His power doesn't extend just to the idea of creation. His power extends to the fact that He can go ahead and he can make anything happen that He wants to happen. Right. He has so much power and so much authority and so much might that He can do the absolute impossible things that defy everything that you and I know should be happening. He has so much power, He stops the sun in space. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll move it back 10 degrees just because I can. Right? Yep. It's in the Bible. Right. He's so powerful, He can part the Red Sea if He wants to. Amen. He's so powerful, He can take a time on the face of this earth when rain didn't exist and go ahead and say, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to make it rain. Yep. Amen. That's the power that God holds. He is so powerful that he can rain down plagues upon all the gods of the nation of Egypt and just completely and utterly bring them to their knees. The greatest army on the planet of their day, crumbled by a bunch of slaves because of their God. He can go ahead and drive out giants and send in hornets and whatever else he wants to go ahead and fight. He can drop the walls of Jericho when he feels like it. He can do whatever he wants to. He's limitless in his power. Satan thinks he's got power. God is just letting him play the game. Because when he is all said and done, you talk about all power, you hit a Revelation chapter 19 and God decides the whole timetable is done and what I want to accomplish is finished, I'm done. And he goes ahead, steps down out of heaven and says, okay, now it's time for me to actually fight. And when he does, the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of fire, and then he binds the devil for 1,000 years because he's got one more play he's going to let him do. And it's only because he gets loosed. That's right. Satan didn't loose himself at the end of 1,000 years. God lets him get loose to go ahead and prove that he is still God. Amen. And he gives him one more chance. And that chance is not for Satan, that chance is for the world of their day. And they fail. And so God, you know, he's got so much power, he literally melts the universe down to nothing and leaves everybody standing in front of him. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And he's so powerful, he gets to judge everybody too. That's the power he has. And his decision is final. Heaven or hell for all of eternity. Heaven or a lake of fire. You got one or the other. And he's so powerful, he says, I'll start it again. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more. There we go. He says, I'll make it all new. I'll do it again. That's the power he holds. And so when you and I come to him and we think of his power, what he did for me wasn't much of his power, but it was a great showing of power. What he's been doing for Mrs. Legault is a great showing of his power, but that only scratches the surface of his power. We have yet to see how amazing God really could be in all of his power. I don't rightly know we could handle it, but it's limitless. How much power does God have? Unlimited. He's got all power. Say, so how can I get some of that? Well, he wanted you to have it. He told you you'd be strengthened with all might by his eternal power. He wants you to have his power. Well, you have not because you ask not. We have full access to his power. If we wanted it, we could have it. And we can use it. Say, what happened? How did I gain God's power? To heal me, to take care of me? I mean, I am literally healing twice as fast as they thought. I'm double timing them. They are confused. On their timetable, their original timetable, I may be home today. Maybe. But that's not how it worked. Say, what happened? Prayer happened.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. Prayer opens the doorway for God's power to be able to do things.
Right.
The only limits God puts on his power are usually based upon our limits.
Yeah.
Usually it's what we think or what we want or what we could imagine and believe that he could do, because we forget that he has all power. One of my favorite statements from Brother Gibbs was why are your requests not God-sized? We want everything bigger, we want everything better, right? We want the most, we want the biggest value, we want the biggest bang for our buck, you know? Okay, well, why wouldn't you God-size your prayer request? What you ask of Him, knowing that He has all power, what would you really ask for? See, but you don't believe that He could do it. You put limits on Him and say, well, He wouldn't do that for me. Or you put limits on it and say, well, I don't really know. I mean, it's not really worth His time. Okay, well, why didn't you ask Him anyways? Let Him decide what He wants to do with it. He has all power. It doesn't mean it's a free credit card and you get to just run up the bill. That's not what He told you. He's got conditions on your prayer request, but boy, what if you asked Him to do something amazing for you? He's got all the power to do it. If he wants to go ahead and drop $1 million on us and we build everything we want to build and fix everything we want to fix and take care of whatever we want to take care of here at the church, okay, He can do that. If He wants to.
Right.
Yeah. So how's He going to do it? I don't know. I don't really need to know. But if He did it, well, He could. I mean, he got us almost halfway there, $400,000 grant. That was dropped on us. Say, oh, can He do that kind of thing? Well, He is the Almighty. He's the Almighty. What do you have in your life that you need the Almighty to deal with? Because He's limitless. Health, finances, family issues, problems at home, problems at work, problems. Okay, well, you've got the Almighty. Is He Almighty or isn't He? Well, if He's a limitless God and He's got all the power, well, why don't you go talk to Him? Well, what if He says no? Well, who cares that He says no? How about this? What if He said yes?
Yeah, there you go.
How about that side? We all like the negative side. What about the other side? What if He says, yeah, I'll go ahead and fix that. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take care of it. Yeah, I'll give you some more. I'll take care of that bill for you. Yeah, I'll take care of that house problem for you. Yeah, I'll take care of this for you. I'll take care of that guy at work. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. He's got all the power to do it. I can sit here and brag all day just on God's power. But He also has no limits on His time. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is, He was, He is to come. He's from everlasting to everlasting. As if everlasting wasn't enough, He goes from everlasting to everlasting. I don't even know how long that would be, but that sounds limitless to me. That's why we struggle with the idea of God. See, God creates time. In the beginning, God created. That's when He kicked time off, right there. In the beginning. There was no beginning before God began doing what He was doing. He's just always been. And when time ceases to exist and you get to the end, He's still there. Because He made time. So, well, what does that matter? It's everything to you, ultimately. Because He's the eternal God, that means time has no hold on what He's going to do.
Yeah.
That means you call on Him, and you're not in a line of, you know, the queue waiting to come up to see the person. Could you imagine if you had to wait for the other, I don't know how many million people that are saved on the planet happening right now, that you had to wait for their prayer request, like you're in line? Like you took a ticket. Huh. I'm 487,212 today. It's going to take a minute before God's going to hear what I have to say to Him. No. It's immediate.
Right. Amen.
See, because He doesn't have to worry about time. He hears you when you pray immediate. So His time frame, so then when you ask and you do one of those Nehemiah prayers where you throw something up and you're like, God help me. When you're there and you're Peter and you're starting to sink and you're like, Lord save me. Could you imagine if you were in a queue waiting how do I get to the urgent lane? Like, is there a way to bypass some of these people so that I can get to God? So I can, you realize, you go to places. The Hindus have their temples, and as you look at a Hindu temple, literally, if they have their ceremonies going on, they have like the corrals at the stalls, the metal bars, and they're literally weaving them back and forth all the way up. And they come in because there's one little statue, one God they're coming to at that temple, and they've got to wait their turn to come and see, to come and go ahead and make an offering. And they're breaking the coconuts and they're pouring out things and they're doing things and they're doing all these things to go ahead. But they're all one by one. One by one to come, and they have to wait. And they may wait for hours before they can go ahead and see their God. You talk about a finite, sad, pathetic excuse for a God. Your God is limitless. And so when you want to see Him, He's got all the time in the world for you. Because He's the one who created time. So if I'm talking to Him and Pastor Thomas is talking to Him, Pastor Legault's talking to Him, all of you are talking to Him, He doesn't care. He hears all of us, deals with each of us individually. You could be praying for one thing, I could be praying for something totally different, and God's still doing exactly what He needs to do. Why? Because He's limitless. His time is not bound like yours. He's not like, oh man, I better hurry up. Because, you know, I'm running a little behind on Pastor Thomas's request. I better hurry it up. No, he doesn't have to hurry. That's why He's never in a hurry. You and I are worried that He needs to hurry up, and He's like, don't worry, I'm always on time. Amen. He's limitless. Right. He's limitless in His power. He's limitless in His time. Go back to, I don't know how many verses. Look over at 1 John. We're close to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. How do I not cover this? Verse number 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You know, there's no limit on God's love. Calvary proved it. His love for mankind was so infinite that He'd give His own Son to die for everyone's sins, regardless of whether they trust Him or not. The Calvinists would make you believe God wouldn't waste His blood at Calvary for somebody who wouldn't trust Him. God's answer was, I'll pour out My blood for everyone because I love them. And He didn't count it a waste, whether they trust Me or not. It's not a waste to show His love. His love is shown because God is love. And we love Him, because He first loved us. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. God goes above and beyond the status of mankind's love and proves that He could lay down His life for His enemies. Those who were against Him, the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The ungodly, the wicked, the vile sinners that we were, He says, I'll die for you. I love you. Love beyond measure. Love that truly is beyond my understanding and my comprehension. Love that goes exceeding abundantly above anything you and I could even imagine. And still we question His love for us. I gave an example earlier. Well, God wouldn't do that for me. We don't pray believing God wouldn't do that for me. Why? Doesn't he love you enough? Doesn't he love you? His love for you. Now take it one step further. Not only did he love at Calvary, but then when he saved you, he loves you as a son now. So you've got extra love. If that's even possible. I don't even know if that's possible. That may not be doctrinally correct, preacher. I don't know. You might correct me later. But boy, that's what it seems like. Right? It seems like I love everybody enough. I'm going to die for them. But then when he brings you in, he adopted you as a son. Now you're his.
Yeah.
And it changed everything. Now, not only did he give love toward you, you accepted that love, and now he gets to bestow more upon you.
Amen.
He gets to show you day to day the love that he has for you. He gets to go ahead and take care of all your needs because he loves you. He gets to go ahead and take responsibility for how you are, so he loves you, so he'll chasten you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. He shows his love by making sure that you're doing what you should do so that you can get all of his blessings and none of the problems that go along with doing things the way the world wants you to live. He goes ahead and just keeps pouring out his love and showing his love. And he goes ahead in the times of need, in the times that you and I are at our lowest, in the times when we need him the most, in the times when we can't express to anybody else what's happening in our lives, he reaches down as the God of all comfort and the God of compassion, the God of love, the God that reaches to us and puts his arms around us and tells us, hey, don't worry, I'm still here, everything's fine. There's no limits on that love.
Right.
You have yet to plumb the depths of the love that God has for you. He loves you more than you could ever, ever, ever figure out. I'm trying not to cry. I'm losing, but I'm trying. You say, why? Because he's the God that says he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one that's there that loves you. You realize that how awful you and I are, he still loves us. I mean, I know we're all polished and clean and we're like grade A Christians right here, right? I mean, we're the A plus, doing everything right. We know what we're doing. Got it all under control. But on those one days in a year that you kind of really mess it up, right? He still loves you.
Amen.
How many times we look around and we think, God, I have no clue why you still love me.
Amen.
Say, what? Why does he still love me? Because there's no limit on his love.
That's right. Amen.
Loved with everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know. I'm trying to get the song in my brain. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. Loved with everlasting love, limitless. 1 John, we're there. 1 John chapter 1. Because of that love, you got two things that he's limitless on that I'm going to get, and then I'm going to be done. Although I could do this, this could be a pretty fun series, but I don't have anything else than what I'm going to give you tonight, right, ready to go. But the more I thought about it, the more, man, you just keep talking about him. You know the spot, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there's no limit on his forgiveness either.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
He loves us so much, he'll forgive.
That's right.
And forgive.
Amen.
And forgive. And then when you mess it up again, he'll still forgive. The disciples asked him right back there in Matthew, and I think it's also in Luke, you know, how many times do we forgive? Seven times? No, 70 times seven per day. per day. Thank you for getting that part. We'd have run out of 490 real fast with God. But 490 a day, we might start feeling a little bit better about it. But you know, He goes above and beyond that, I guarantee it.
Amen.
We probably mess it up more than 490 times a day. And His compassions, they still don't run out. He still forgives us. Even the days when He's wounded in the house of His friends, He still forgives us. Even the times when we know it's wrong and we know what we're doing and we purposely go against Him and we purposely turn on Him, He's still ready to say, I'll forgive it. You come back, I'll forgive it. We can still make it right. Limitless. How many times have you thought, boy, I would go back, but I don't know if they'd ever forgive me? Well, thank God He's not limited like you and I.
Amen.
We struggle at forgiveness. We can struggle really hard at forgiveness and forgiving people. We can struggle at not being able to extend it, not being able to hold it, and we may say we forgive, and then we've got to try it again and give it back to the Lord, and we've got to do it again. He's so good at forgiving, He doesn't just forgive it, He forgives it and forgets it. He puts it in the depths of the sea of His forgetfulness. He separates it as far from the east as from the west. He goes ahead and just removes it all and takes it away, and He goes ahead and washes it in His own blood. He loves it. He loves you so much. The forgiveness is so permanent with God that it will never be remembered again. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
That's forgiveness right there. That's unparalleled forgiveness. And then He turns around and He says, it doesn't matter how much you've done, I'll forgive it. Him that cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast out. If you're willing to come, He's willing to forgive. That's a limitless God right there. Because
yeah.
There's some people in this world that have lived. Some of them are still alive right now. I don't rightly know how I could forgive them. If I were God, the things they've done. I mean, you think of the same people I'm thinking of. Mass genocide. Things like that. People going out and doing just horrendous things. God says, I can forgive that. You say, boy, God should put a limit. Now, if He did, we'd all hit the limit. We'd all hit it eventually. You know, He's so forgiving when the children of Israel were going through. And He's so merciful and He's so gracious with it. That the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't yet full, so He waited to kill them. Because He loved to forgive. You realize that the people in the city of Nineveh should have been gone when Jonah showed up. 40 days, done. God's so merciful and so forgiving, you know what He said? I'll give them 200 more years. Because they were willing to repent. They didn't deserve a drop of that. The truth is, you and I, if we were to reckon in order all the things that we have done and all the sin we've committed, we don't deserve any of it. And we certainly don't deserve coming to Him again today and saying, God, forgive me again. And to have Him say, of course. But He does. Praise God for a limitless God. One more. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Whew. He's limitless in His power, limitless in His time. Limitless in His love, limitless in forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
There's no limit on his grace.
Right.
No limit on his grace. You say, well, you know, I'm not getting all the mercy I want. I don't know what's going to happen. And I just, you know, how do I deal with all these troubles and these problems, right? I mean, you're suffering. But the God of all grace is there. Same thing he told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
Say, well, how much grace do I need? As much grace as he'll give.
Yeah.
And he's pretty liberal with giving his grace.
Right.
He's pretty liberal with making sure you get his presence and his comfort and his strength. He's pretty liberal about giving you his wisdom and his ability, giving you the answers and giving people around you. And he's good at being gracious because he's the God of all grace. That's why he goes ahead and opens up the throne of grace. That's the place we go. Hebrews chapter 4, we go before the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You need his grace, all you have to do is go to the throne.
Right.
I mentioned it before, and you don't have to stand in line to get it.
Amen.
He's ready to dispense grace.
Right. Well,
I'm going through too much. Okay, go see the God of all grace. He's got something for you. You say, what? His grace. Being able to deal with things. You know, I had some folks come up while I was at the hospital and all the things. Testimonies were given on the Saturday before I came home and just different things. And one thing that was said that stood out, and I don't even remember. They said, I didn't hear you complain once that you were stuck at the hospital and that you weren't going home. And I thought, I had to have said something. Because in my brain, I knew I wasn't too thrilled with still being there in a hospital. And they said, you just kept saying, the Lord's got it. The Lord knows what he's doing. Say, what is that? That's his grace. Because that's not me. Pastor Legault's known me a long time. I'm a complainer. Amen. I'd have complained if I could. Say, what is that? That's the grace of God in a trial where I had an entire group looking at me. I had a lot of eyes on me for a week. More eyes than I like, I'll tell you that. You know, your trials, and as you're going through those difficult times, Mrs. Legault's used it as a testimony. Brother Bacon's used his as a testimony. Others have gone through plenty of things. Those are just some of the recent ones. I mean, we talk about Asa going home to be with the Lord and the testimonies there and the grace of God through the trials and different family members and people stepping into eternity and going home. And yeah, but the grace of God.
Amen.
His limitless grace applied in our lives gives him all glory. You can see it right there. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Why? Because he's the one who strengthens us and settles us and keeps us. His grace does that for us. It gives us the boldness and the strength that we need in the times when we're weak so that we can be strong, so that we do have his might and his power. He is the limitless God that you and I rely upon literally for everything. That's who we have. So him for. I mean, everything. That's obvious. I'm talking a little more specific than that. Amen. But maybe you just needed to be reminded tonight, he's limitless.
Amen.
Whatever you need from Him, you can get. He's got it. He has never run out of resources. He has never gone, you know, a little brown light because He doesn't have enough power to take care of things. He's never come up short on His promises. He loves you more than anybody ever could. And He is so forgiving and so gracious to us. He is limitless. Amen. That's the God we have. When He stands up and looks around and He says, "Is there a God like unto me? I know not any." That's what He means right here. There's nobody like Him. The world can pile up whatever gods they'd like. They will never compare to the limitless God we have. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, I thank You for the night. I thank You. You are amazing. And if I could reckon in order all the things that You have done over the last few weeks just for me, it proved that You're a limitless and amazing God and can do more than anybody could ever ask or think for them. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know You as their Savior, I pray they'd call upon Jesus Christ tonight. But Father, maybe there's some Christians here that just needed to be reminded, and I just wanted to brag on You. And Lord, maybe they just want to brag on You. Father, maybe they just want to rejoice tonight. But I pray if somebody needs something, if they need a limitless God, I pray they'd come and call upon You. And they'd put it in Your hands. We're so finite, and You're so infinite. And Father, the limitations we have, is it causes us to forget how great and amazing You really are. And so, Father, I thank You that You remind us of those things. And I pray You'd help each of us to hold close to the God that loved us and died for us and saved us and washed us in His own blood. Father, thank You once again for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.